Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Batuas.
I'm Dawn Del Greco.
And we are going to be talking about issues about getting older, as we are all getting older every day. That's a good thing.
No, we're like vintage wine. We're maturing very nicely.
Okay. We're talking about intelligent aging, lessons for life. And we want to convey to you some of the finer things about getting older and some of the warning signs and pitfalls that you might avoid if you listen to us.
We're actually trying to give you higher mileage. Once again, the car.
God, keep on going back to that car.
I know. We're just going to keep that car running well and the joints well.
We're brought to you by Comfort Keepers, where in Lower Fairfield County, we help you stay in your own home. And we do those things that you don't want to do, shouldn't do, need to get done, but they're a problem.
Dennis, what do you consider to be Lower Fairfield County?
Geographically?
Mm-hmm.
Definitively, I call it from Fairfield to Greenwich.
And then, north do you go? Do you end up in Canada, or where do you stop?
Well, Fairfield is... Oh, north. Okay.
North.
Oh, that's right. We had that discussion about what is north.
Unreal north.
And we go to Easton and kind of border the Trumbull, Monroe area, and that's where Ken, our good friend Ken...
Right.
Then we take a left and go back down to New Canaan.
Okay.
So,
all right. Just in case someone didn't know.
But just in case, if you're listening to us and you're in the Trumbull, Monroe, Shelton area, we have a really good friend that also provides services up there. We have 9 offices in the state and 600 offices across the United States.
So you have dinner with Dennis Batuas and he'll mention you on the radio next time he has a show.
Oh, well, as long as I didn't pay for it, yes.
Okay, enough of this banter. Let's get on to business.
Right. What are we doing today?
We're doing arthritis because I didn't know anything about it. And I know just from the limited amount of research that I've done that this is, once again, a really big topic. And we have an expert who can help us with it.
We have Susan Nessy. She's the Chief Public Health and Policy Officer for the Arthritis Foundation. And she is coming to us from Rocky Hill, Connecticut. She's actually here with us. So she actually came to us from Rocky Hill. Thank you for coming, Susan.
Thank you.
Arthritis is something that has plagued mankind since mankind has been on the ground.
Mm-hmm. You can find it in the Egyptian mummies. You can find it in the remains of the early American Indians. You can also find it in dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs had arthritis.
So I guess it's a plague of the mammal.
Yes, apparently. Mm-hmm.
And what is arthritis?
It's a series of over 100 related diseases that affect joints and the surrounding structures. And joints are any part of the body where two or more bones meet. Your elbow, your back.
Shoulder, your back.
Your shoulder,
legs.
Your knee, your fingers, your toes. You have lots of joints in your feet, which you probably wouldn't even know.
There's more bones in your feet than any other part of your body, I believe.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity with the human body.
Yeah, there's over 300 and something joints in the body.
So it is a form of inflammation, which can be in itself a problem, and it can lead to other compounding problems.
Sometimes it's inflammation, and sometimes it's degeneration. And you can take all the 100 types and divide them into 2 big football stadiums. One type or one group involves inflammation. Rheumatoid arthritis, gout, bursitis, tendinitis. Those are all inflammatory. The other type primarily involves the wearing away of the joint or the degeneration of the joint. And the one that's the most prominent there, which most people have, is osteoarthritis. And Dennis, just last Thursday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention came out with new prevalence numbers. Right now, there are 50 million Americans with arthritis. That's up from 46 million.
I read that number on your website.
Yep. It just changed last Thursday. There are 349,000 adults in Connecticut with doctor-diagnosed arthritis, probably another 15% who are self-diagnosed. They haven't seen the doctor yet. And there are 3,400 children and teens with arthritis.
Now, that's
kids
interesting.
Kids get arthritis, too. Our image is that you have to have gray hair.
Mm. Why did you point to my head when you did that?
Well, I have it, too, but I cover it.
Need you ask, Dennis.
I cover it.
Are we finding more children?
Actually, the number of children we think has stayed, CDC has, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, our CDC, our nation's prevention agency, has done a little bit of research, and the number has probably stayed quite steady. Where the number is changing and why it's changing is the aging of our generation, the baby boomers. We've always been the elephant in the python of the population.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And as we move through each age stage, we've affected different things. Well, right now, most of us are 45 and older, actually 50 and older, and the prevalence of arthritis increases after 45. What's going to change is, and this is why it's so appropriate for your show, right now, half the people 65 and older have arthritis, but two-thirds of the people with arthritis are under the age of 65. So our gray hair analogy doesn't quite hold.
No, it doesn't.
But by 2030, when hopefully we're all retired, two-thirds of the people will be over the age of 65. So I like to tell people and seniors that this is a growth industry, unfortunately, and what our job is to see if we can prevent it, control it, and improve quality of life like you seek to do for your clients, and in a few cases, cure it. There's a couple that we can cure. Lyme disease is an example. If it's caught early enough, can be cured.
Now, that was interesting because I would never have considered Lyme disease an arthritic disease.
It can affect other parts of the body, but left untreated, the most common effect is to the joint.
Well, and that's right, yeah.
About 2/3 of the people get joint problems, about 1/3 get neurological problems, and about 10% get very severe cardiac or heart problems,
right.
You go to the emergency room for those.
Well,
the difficult ones, actually the arthritis, if you go to a specialist, is pretty easy to diagnose. It's got a pattern. All types of arthritis are really diagnosed by patterns.
Mm-hmm.
They're diagnosed by history. Where does it hurt? How long does it hurt? What is it hard for you to do? By a clinical exam and moving the joints and observing them, seeing if they're swollen, seeing how well they move, how stiff they are. And then finally, for some types, by tests. The first two things really give the doctor the idea of maybe if tests are needed or x-rays are needed. But most people think that arthritis is diagnosed by tests. Actually, of all the many, many types, there's only one type diagnosed by a test, and that's gout.
Really?
Gout is one of those very old types of arthritis, and the doctor puts a needle into an inflamed joint, draws the fluid from the joint, because joints where the bones meet, they're in a capsule, and they're connected by tendons and ligaments. That's how you move, that little capsule. You have hinge joints, you have ball and socket joints, many different types. But anyway, in gout, you draw the fluid out, you stain it, you put it under a microscope like the kind we used in high school chemistry,
mm-hmm, yes,
or biology. And if you've ever seen the way kids draw lightning bolts on pictures,
okay,
that's what it looks like. It's a little jagged crystal, and it's very, very painful.
Ow.
Yeah,
it sounds painful.
And unfortunately, with the aging of our society and with the overweight, which is a big risk factor for gout, as well as some of the medications that we use for high blood pressure, we're seeing an increase in gout.
Where does gout usually present itself?
Because it's a crystal, it tends to present itself in the what's called the peripheral joints of the body, which is the hands and the feet and the knees. Far ends, because that's where it settles, and it has to do with blood flow.
Okay.
By the time the blood gets to the fingers and the toes, and you sometimes notice this when it's cold, those are the first areas to get cold. So it tends to settle there.
So drops
and
it off.
It's one of those inflammatory types of arthritis that belongs in that inflammation football stadium.
And is there something that brings it on more acutely
sometimes,
at different times?
Yeah, sometimes surgery can cause it or can trigger it. Sometimes just different events in life. It can also come without warning. And usually the hallmark of it, men tend to get it in their toes. Women tend to get it in their hands, particularly if they have a form of osteoarthritis called Heberden's and Bouchard's nodes, which are kind of bumps that you see on the tops or side of your fingers, hard, bony bumps. That's the most common type. That's the degenerative type, where cartilage, if you wiggle the tip of your nose down,
yes, right,
that's cartilage. It wears away from a variety of sources, and the bones rub together in the joint, and the underlying bone responds by making more bone. We don't know why.
Is that where you start to see the deformation of the
uh-huh,
fingers and
yep,
the toes?
Yep.
And
yep,
they
and
start going in different directions?
Bumps, yeah. And they do go in different directions. And then joints are like car parts. They're meant to run in the front end of your car. They're meant to run in alignment. And with all types of arthritis, they run out of alignment. Now, when that happens to knees or hips, it can lead to increased risk for falls. And that's why canes are so very important, but people won't use them. And I keep telling the ladies, they're designer canes now with gorgeous patterns out there. But a cane helps take hundreds of pounds of weight off an affected joint. It also prevents you from falling. Mm. And that's really, really critical.
And when you think about that, the design of the foot, when it's perfect, is a wonderful balancer. It makes total sense. But I thought, wasn't gout at one point considered the wealthy person's?
It was always pictured that way. If you look at the old pictures from the 16th and 17th century, it's the old squire with his foot up with his glass of port. But particularly now, it tends to be people who are overweight and obese, especially men. In women tend to get gout after menopause. But overweight is also a main risk factor for the most common type of arthritis, which is osteo or degenerative arthritis. And you know what's happening to our society. All you have to do is look. We're all getting wider.
Absolutely.
A third of us are overweight and a quarter of us are obese. We're more than 30% of our recommended weight, called body mass index. And what happens, guys tend to carry their weight in their belly, and that increases their risk for heart disease and gout. Women tend to carry it in their hips. And because we're built a little different from the guys, we're not as straight up and down. We have wider pelvises to bear babies. When you put more weight on there, you put more pressure across your knee. So for every pound you are overweight, you put 4 pounds of excess stress across your knees. The good news is, for every pound you lose,
you take away that four pounds.
But
that's a heck of a ratio.
That's a
lot. So it doesn't take a lot of weight loss to really reduce your risk. If you lost, in the 10 years before you would have developed knee osteoarthritis, if you lose as little as 10 pounds, you reduce your risk for developing it in half. And that's from the Framingham Heart Disease Study, a study that Dr. David Felsen, one of my heroes in research, out of Boston University, did, and I think he published it in the early 1990s.
So you really don't have to be model weight to have a tremendous benefit on that knee. Two pounds equals 8 pounds of reaction, if you will.
I can tell you, I have osteoarthritis in my knees. And this time of year, when I tend to live on the road a lot, not watch my diet as well, and not always get my exercise in the morning, I can feel it.
Right.
And taking off that 10 extra pounds that comes on over the holidays makes a major difference.
But you know, this whole obesity, arthritis is not one of the more prominently mentioned side effects of being fat. And it's heart disease and it's diabetes.
But actually, those three, heart disease, diabetes, and arthritis, are the three main chronic diseases linked to weight. And it's very common to see people with osteoarthritis, particularly in the knees, who also have heart disease and who are also diabetic. So common now that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is looking at linking those three in our state health department programs in a block grant, because there's so much overlap. And the other risk factor that the three share is physical inactivity. Well, with arthritis, when it hurts to move, what don't you naturally do?
You don't move.
Yeah. But joints are the parts of your body that allow you to move. And if you don't move them, you lose the ability to move them. So it's not a no pain, no gain, but it's a move it or lose it proposition. You have to keep moving. Even if you can't move the way you used to, you still need to keep moving.
Now, historically, the doctors had discouraged you from moving if it did hurt. Now, this is a change.
In the 1980s and since, there's been a whole body of research to say that the best thing, moving is the best medicine for arthritis. We actually have a campaign with the National Ad Council now with that tagline, moving is the best medicine.
Well, once you get past that first move, the pain subsides.
And you kind of work it out. Yeah, as you move more, and we always tell people when you're exercising, move to the point of pain. Pain is a warning sign. Don't push past it. This isn't the no pain, no gain of the gym, but it's a move it or lose it. And then each day, as you have good days, and with arthritis, it tends to go up and down and up and down. On the good days, walk a little farther. Do a few more minutes of exercise. On the bad days, walk a little less. But don't move every day, because it's really important.
Okay, we're going to have to jump to a break, but I was going to say don't move, but if you have to move, move quickly and get back to the radio to listen to the rest of our discussion with Susan Nessie on arthritis. We'll be right back.